Welcome to the Full Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 5:54 British Summer Time. Well, there's been a number of stories in here today regarding earnings, because you had Amazon come out earlier on today, and they're down, I think, 18% on the price today, which is really rather a lot. And Lucent, I think, profit or fell by 79%, something like that. The oil companies have come out quite strong. ConocoPhillips up 65% on record oil prices. GM has a higher operating profit, but it's posting a loss of 3.7 billion on jobs costs. So what it's really showing us is that we've got a very mixed earnings season in here, and the markets are a little bit schizophrenic. They're jumping up and down depending on which company is coming out with good news or bad news. Which is leading to a little bit of manic activity. Last Monday we had a number of good earnings reports coming out, and that pushed up the indices quite well. Right now, we're looking at a pretty quiet day in the U.S. The Dow Jones is up 2 points, the S&P is up le is down less than a point, and the Nasdaq Composite is down 6 points. So really very, very quiet. The Europeans were pretty much the same. The FTSE was up 25, well, nearly 26 points. DAX was up 17, and the OMX in Sweden was up nearly 2%, which was certainly the best performer in Europe. The Nikkei was down a bit, down 121 points, and Australia was down over 1%, down 56 points. I think that was on. I may be incorrect in this, but I think I heard something about the possibility of Australia raising interest rates. But if I'm incorrect in that, please point it out to me. But what we've seen in here today is really quite quiet in the equity markets. It's still very much a medium-term correction in terms of overall activity, particularly here in the US. Now, you have seen these fantastic, I mean, one upward dynamic on the Dow Jones over the last couple of months, we could have said was a flash in the dark, but we've seen four. And that does tell us that the bulls are very, very gradually starting to take the upper hand, but it's by no means over yet, and that is really only looking at the internal dynamics of the lateral range. And it is still very much within a lateral range, and it would need to do considerably more than it has been doing to break up from that range. And it wouldn't be at all surprising that if we saw another down leg at some point in August or perhaps in September to go down and test those lows once more. But right now it's still looking positive, and that upward dynamic from a couple of days ago is helping it to push back up towards the top of the range. But just like it's reinforced support at the bottom, we've already seen reinforced resistance around the top of that range. So it will need to do something pretty impressive to break up from that. Moving on to other asset classes. In treasuries, yesterday it had fallen back from the 108 level. And today was down to 107.07 at the lowest point. But it's rallied up a bit from there. It's at 107.24 right now. So it looks like it's going to have another look at the top of the range there. And it would need to break above 108 to really break out of this range we've seen over the last couple of months. And as inflation fears start to subside, that we might actually see that. But the question is, what's oil going to do? Because oil is up again today. It's at 74.35, so it's holding quite steady there, having seen those key reversals last week. And if we see oil starting to push up again, that is going to impact on consumer confidence, and it's going to you're going to see inflationary fears starting to push up again, and that is going to hurt treasuries because of the interest rates. And people are still very much afraid of what's going to happen in the interest rate environment. While Bernanke came out last week and was quite dovish and said, that they've made 17 rate hikes already, and that it takes a bit of time for these things to kick in, people are starting to fear now that if we have rising base metal prices and rising oil prices and other commodities starting to push up, are we going to see another rate hike? So that is starting to sway a little bit on the markets. So I don't really think that we're going to see Treasury bonds rallying very much at all. Even if they do break above 108, there's still plenty of overhead resistance above there. And any good rally would be just another opportunity to short into this very short in the tooth bear market for Treasury bonds. And we've seen a pretty flat day across the board in other markets there. The gilts are down 13 points and the bunds are down 16 points. Those are, of course, they're in hundredths. Gold was down for most of the day, but it's up a bit now. It's up nearly 250. And silver is up 15 cents at 11.10. So 11 is sorry, silver has pushed back up above $11. That does seem to be a bit of a level for it, and it has been ranging around there and finding support around that level for the last couple of weeks. Silver has is generally looked on as high beta gold and hasn't been moving around nearly as much as the gold price, so it is it's finding a bit more support than the gold price has been finding of late. So when these things start to move up again, it could be silver is due for the one to move the most. Base metals have been relatively weak in here today. Nickel is down nearly 600 points at 24,000, but still very much holding in this lateral range above the old high, which is the only base metal to have done that. Copper is down $1.10. It's at 345, 345, I should say. So still holding steady around there. Lead, which had looked quite positive, has given up a bit here today. It's down 11. Now that had rallied up quite nicely and then had a very abrupt fall last week, and it started to firm up again this week, but giving it up again, and that still looks like one of the weakest of the base metals. In the soft commodities, there doesn't seem to be a whole pile happening. Soybeans are flat on the day. I had a look at orange juice earlier on, having had that very good upward dynamic 2 days ago. It's steady in here. Coffee is quite coffee and cocoa are pretty much unchanged. There's not an awful lot happening there. Lumber, which has been pretty much accelerating on the downside, hasn't found support quite yet, but the chances are that the further that goes down, the bigger the bounce back is going to be, or the short covering rally. So I'm keeping an eye on lumber. The dollar is a little bit weaker in here today, but it remains within this. By definition, it's an uptrend because we have three higher lows. But I don't think we're going to see very much trending in any of the reserve currencies, purely because the competitive nature of globalization means that nobody wants a strong currency. It's certainly not the US if they have weak economic figures coming in. They don't want to have a strong dollar, because that is like getting kicked in the behind twice. So they're going to be keen to have a weaker dollar. That means that, you know, while there are fears out there that there will be an interest rate, another interest rate hike in August, the I suspect that the Fed are probably going to pause, and that is going to help weaken the dollar. But right now, the dollar is holding relatively steady, although the euro is relatively steady within the overall range, but a little bit weaker in here today. The euro is up 0.75 of a cent. It's at 126.53, and the yen is against the dollar against the yen is down a bit at half a yen at 116.74. You'll have seen that report I posted today with all those overlay charts, and I think overlay charts are very useful for illustrative purposes, but I don't think they're particularly good at predictive purposes. Or for predictive purposes, you can see that it's quite easy to make your point when you're overlaying one bull market on top of another, because uptrends tend to look the same. But when you want to compare the IT bubble, or the technology bubble of that peaked in 2000 with copper or gold or the Sensex, I don't think it's a fair comparison at all, because the very, very good run, and I I don't think it's an exaggeration to call it a spectacular run that we've seen in the base metals and in India. We're following on the heels of a remarkably long bear market, and we're still very much in the early stages of that bull market in industrial resources and emerging Asia. What that means is that even though this has been a spectacular run, there's a very good chance that we're going to see more runs like that in the future, because we're nowhere near the peak of this cycle. And if you look at that, the longer term chart that I posted there, you can see that even though copper had gone up an awful lot, when you put it up against the performance of the S&P IT sector over 10 years, it's really very much in the foothills of what turned out to be a very big mountain. So that's something to ponder when we start to think about just how high these base metals can go. Of course, that chart does not tell us that it's going to go up at the same pace as the S&P IT sector, because that went up spectacularly between 98 and 2000. I don't think that we're going to see that kind of acceleration from copper before 2008 or 2009. I think that it's going to take substantially longer than that, but I also think that it could possibly go up even more. So this is a story for the next decade and more, and not something to get too worried about in the very short term. Even though we are in a medium term consolidation, it is really only a medium term consolidation. It's not a reversal. And when we start to see the reassertion of these uptrends, there's going to be some very good buying opportunities out there. But that's pretty much it for me. David's back tomorrow, and he's off on holiday on Friday, so you'll have to listen to my tones for the next month or so. But thank you very much for your time, and have a good evening.